Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Yes, I hope everybody had a safe and happy Thanksgiving. We have a special guest in the studio today, James Hedum.
Special, thank you.
He's special, okay, like Special K. James is the one who teaches our prepping and our advanced prepping classes here, and we have him in because of everything that's going on, and we're going to discuss that in a little bit, but first I have some anger management issues that I have to address.
Anger management.
I had a good Thanksgiving, but I would have had a much better Thanksgiving if I didn't receive the December issue of the NRA's First Freedom magazine.
Didn't get
now,
it yet.
Now, I checked the Rifleman and the Hunter.
Yeah.
Hold on. I threw it, and it's the advertisement is not in there, but it's in here under the New Jersey section of desecration of church by state and everything. And the NRA wrote, "Don't let the U.S. become more like New Jersey. If you want to retain your right to keep and bear arms and prevent the tragedy and travesty of New Jersey from becoming the norm nationwide, help fight back by becoming a member of the NRA."
What have I even said?
Wait, the NRA knows how to fight. The NRA knows how to win. And no other gun rights group in American claims says, well, a big F you to the NRA right now, because this tells us all of it. We want to keep New Jersey so we can get membership into New into the national NRA, but F you, New Jersey.
Right. Standard tactic of an association is you need a boogeyman.
Don't let the U.S. become more like New Jersey. Yeah. You wonder why we're pissed off. And don't get me wrong, I have a lot of love for Scott Bach. He's the executive director of the ANJRPC. He's an NRA board member. But somebody down in Fairfax needs to wake the fuck up. I'm telling you
this
now.
This is their whole plan.
I know,
their whole plan
but
right
I'm pissed off. I'm telling you, sorry, I'm throwing shit.
There
I'm pissed off at this. It bothered me. Sorry, James. I think I hit him with some of the ripped up magazine.
Just a couple of paper cuts.
So don't let the rest of the country end up like New Jersey, because they don't give a shit about New Jersey, okay? I hope everybody in NRA, Ammo Land, and everybody passes this on, and they can all hear my tirade here. Social media has blown up. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter with this.
Good.
Everybody is pissed off at this, okay?
And as everyone should be, because for years we have been saying this, and it's not like there's another organization to support, because GOA is a pile of crap.
Correct. Not another dime did they get from me. Why? Oh, because they mail out orange postcards a week after elections telling us who to vote for?
Right.
It's bullshit.
And let's not forget that they voted Sweeney. They supported Sweeney and
you want,
called him an A+.
You want
A+.
Millions of dollars in donation and support? Throw us a bone in New Jersey.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, throw us a bone.
Right.
We have
NJ2AS
trying to do shit. We have the ANJRPC trying to do shit. We have Citizens for Safer New Jersey. We have CNJFO. We have all of these organizations working, but we need national support. And here we have the NRA raising funds in 49 other states, using us as the douchebag of the United States
LaPierre
of America.
Wayne LaPierre needs another jet, so jet fuel is very important.
I mean, seriously, I'm really, really pissed off at this. It bothered me, Sandy, like for 4 days. I couldn't wait to come onto my bully pulpit here and talk about it. So anybody from NRA, ILA that's listening to this, I hate you all. Okay? Because you guys need to sit in a room and get together and talk about New Jersey a little bit. We have 9 million people in the state. We have well over a million gun owners. We have strong state and local organizations. How about sending somebody down to get off your asses, your fat, overpaid asses, so that New Jersey isn't the test case or the electric Kool-Aid acid test for everybody
that.
Else.
Yep, they need
Sandy,
that,
you're 100% right. They want us to be the scapegoat. Yep. They want us to be the ones. And we're tired of it, okay? And now we're going to lose, what's his name, Christie, in a year and a half, and we're going to end up with Fulop or Sweeney or anybody. So basically, the NRA is going to get $10 billion in donations the next 5 or 6 years
because
watching us go into shit.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So they've written us off.
Correct. Right. That's what that
they have
ad
written
says
us off
to
a
me.
Long time ago. We've been talking about this for 5 years that we've been on the air. The NRA completely, how many times have we said that the representatives, that we've had one, and I have to, I have to say, the time he was on, the representative from the NRA, he was great, but that was it. How we're here every single week.
Correct.
How come we don't have the NRA showing up here every
Correct.
Week? They've got
Correct.
A free. They've got a million people on the other end of this microphone.
I can't believe they had the balls to print that. You know, you'd think they would just keep that secret.
It's time to expose it all, right?
They have the balls to print that.
Sure.
New Jersey.
Yeah, pretty much. Because that's how little they think of us, and that's how little power they think of us. It's the same thing that, look at Sweeney's, it's the same attitude that Sweeney has. Sweeney is now being empowered because he knows that the gun owners in this frigging state do absolutely nothing to support themselves. Why aren't we bringing a class action lawsuit from all of these women who are being slaughtered waiting to protect themselves, like Carol Brown?
You're absolutely right. So we have no national support, but we're supposed to send money nationally.
Right,
we're supposed
to write the checks
money
and continue
and support
supporting
nationally
them.
So they can spend it on the ringers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So they can go to Illinois at the 11th hour and jump in on the McDonald verdict.
Correct. Or go to Tennessee and change the technicality on a law, or go to Texas so they can go from concealed carry and now legally have open carry.
Right.
Where in New Jersey, I mean, they still consider us, the last time they printed something, remember they wrote every state has carry now except...
Yeah.
But they listed New Jersey as a carry state, remember?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, sure.
Because we have about
1,000 people.
Because 7 people
have carried, yeah, right.
Correct. Well, that's politically connected and everything. But you're right, about 7 normal people. Albert Almeida, the Jersey courts, get a different career.
Right, right.
If you feel unsafe, we're not giving you a carry permit. Maybe you need to sell your business and find another line of work.
Right.
Okay, that's the shit that we have to deal with, and there's no outrage. We had the Drake case, and don't get me wrong, the Drake case had backing by the NRA, but that's because Scott Bach is a board member. Where would we be if we didn't have Scott Bach as a board member from New Jersey in the NRA? Could you imagine where we'd be? We'd be shit. We'd be deeper shit than we are now. Right now, we're shit. We'd be the cesspool taking the shit if we didn't have Scott Bach backing us up. Benefactor Life member, Ring of Freedom member, Heritage Society member of the NRA, high donor Appleseed member, $2,500 a year to the NRA, telling the NRA right now, F you. I'm Anthony Colangelo, and I approve this message. Okay? Thank you for that ad.
That's why they didn't want you on the board.
Yeah, that's why I had a hard time. That's why I got kicked off Education and Training Committee, and that's why my board seat got kiboshed by the past secretary of the NRA, found every friggin' technicality and reason to make it impossible for me to get on to be on the ballot. And I finally got on through petition.
Right.
But even then, I was approached.
They buried your listing in the back of the magazine.
Correct. And I also got approached about maybe not running because of some side deals and shit, so I wouldn't hurt other people's elections.
Right.
Okay? That's how that shit works. So now it's from now on it'll be known as FUNRA. Fun ride.
Is that how you're gonna make out your checks? For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Okay, we're back.
By the way, by the time the NRA hears this, I'll be in Greece. So I get back around the 15th or something.
That's
when
right.
I come back, anybody wants to meet with me, anybody wants to talk to me, although they better not do like last time. Last time I got a phone call, I got my ass chewed out, and before I could respond, they hung up on me, and I had to wait 3 days to call him back so I could hang up on him.
Nice.
Okay? So let me calm down. And now we have James Hedem in the house. Go ahead, Sandy. You lead off with this.
Well, we were talking about D.C. Oh, sorry. We were talking about
D.C.'s police chief, Kathy Lanier.
Yes.
And about the wonderful advice she finally gave that agrees with our rush the nut.
We've been saying for four years.
Yeah, 5 years now.
5 years, rush the nut.
Rush the nut.
Because look what happened in the theater in France. You had 1,000 people being executed one at a time, and you had two shooters.
Right.
James, think about it. If 30 guys and girls had the balls to rush them during a reload, if they even knew what that was in these anti-gun socialist states, they could have rushed a nut. Even while they were firing.
Right. You firing stood on a someone better else, so you have
wait until you're going to get picked off one by one, or help comes, or rushed a nut. Go ahead, Stan.
According to the FBI, 60% of active shooter attacks are over before police ever arrive. So now, law enforcement agencies throughout the country are trying to educate the public on how to survive on their own.
Your options are run, hide, or fight.
That's what you tell people they should do.
Yes. What we tell them is the facts of the matter is that most active shooters kill most of their victims in 10 minutes or less. And the best police department in the country is going to be about a 5 to 7 minute response. I always say if you can get out, getting out's your first option, your best option. If you're in a position to try and take the gunman down, to take the gunman out, it's the best option for saving lives before police can get there. And that's kind of counterintuitive to what cops always tell people, right? We always tell people don't take action, call 911, don't intervene in the robbery. You know, we've never told people take action. This is a different scenario.
You're telling them that now, though.
We are.
All right, so it is a whole nother scenario now. It is counterintuitive to rush towards someone who's shooting at you, but that's why it works.
Of course.
They don't expect it. We've been saying this. Anthony, you've been saying this now for 5 years or more that I know you.
And it takes a special breed to do that also.
And yeah, not everybody can pull their shit together to do it. Most people, you're going to cower in fear. Let's face
right.
it. And also, James, how old's your son?
14.
If he's in the theater with his son, his first thing is to protect his son, not turn and run. Even though, if you think about it, protecting a son would probably be to rush the guy and
exactly
bite his
right.
ear
yeah.
off or something.
Right.
But
right.
but his paternal instinct is going to be grab his son and go and hide somewhere.
Right.
You know, that's really what it boils down to in this right. situation.
Any situation is going to be different. You don't know how you're going to react until it actually happens. But I would say that if I saw the opportunity, the gunman had his back to me and was firing on someone else, then I would try to take that opportunity.
Yes.
And a lot of times, even in your tactical courses, I've seen many of the instructors say, and it's very true, we've seen this happen in real life when you're dealing with a live shooter scenario when you're using simunitions, that when the shooter is shooting and you rush at him, even though you're almost at point blank range, he can't hit you.
Correct.
Because he's too confused.
Correct. He's not going to hit you. Not going to hit you. So we know. Now, Kathy, by the way, Lanier, the chief of D.C., she's issued 45 or less carry permits in D.C. since they passed the carry permit law.
So now, if you're in D.C., then if you're one of the 45, then you can, or you better hope then that you're one of the 45 people who have carry permits.
Correct.
Is sitting in the theater
but this
with
is,
you.
This is, again, it's pure hypocrisy.
No, of
where
course.
She says that you should rush the nut and, you know, a gun would help or whatever, but she won't give you a gun permit.
Right. Yeah, a gun would help if you had a gun. but you
she's
don't
not
have a gun.
Give you one.
Yeah, you can't have one.
Yeah, and that's the same as it is in New Jersey, and that's why to our listeners outside of the state of New Jersey, and we have very, very many of them. This is why we are so PO'd at this, because we literally are forced to be sitting ducks. There are a number of things you can do. Many of the classes that I've taken here at Gun for Hire have been revolved around. You can't call them non-lethal, but self-defense without the use of a firearm.
Correct.
Let's put it that way. With things that you already have, whether it's yourself or a pen or something of that nature. But it's always about mindset.
You know, and Rich Petkevis was talking about how if you had a gun and you were in a theater, how do you distinguish yourself from being the bad guy? And that we have classes here. You know, we do civilian response to an active shooter, armed and unarmed, about how to identify yourself, about how to drop the gun to the ground, you know, immediately.
Right.
As soon as you see the police, or reholster it. I'd rather not be separated from my gun, how to be reholstered. So there's a lot of things, and we're gonna have law enforcement in Rich in about 2 weeks that are gonna discuss this in further detail, but. In D.C., we only have 45 people that are armed. Now, our president gave a press conference the other day and said that the 127 nations that are meeting in France for climate change is going to show ISIS who's in charge.
Them. That's right.
Okay, you heard it, right?
Because
did you hear it, James?
We're there for climate change.
Did you hear him
change.
Say it?
Because
you
the number one threat to the world is climate change.
Well, in his mind.
Look at what 9/10 of a degree has done.
Obama declares upcoming Paris Climate Change Forum to be a powerful rebuke to the terrorists. They could give a shit about that. Now, we know, the listeners to this show, we don't live in a bubble like Obama that gets watered down reports from Valerie Jarrett, the terrorist, Muslim, Islamic, whatever she is, etc. We know the real world. I know that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Right.
It's going to happen here. The FBI is following 1,000 people right now in the U.S. They're following 1,000 people. How many are they dead that they don't know about? Okay.
Right.
So we have James in here. He does a prepping 101 class. His next class is when? It's around December or something,
yes.
Right? December 12th. He does a class because I want to talk to you people because look what happened in Paris. You're going to get separated from friends and family.
Instantly.
What about Belgium? You're going to be on lockdown for a week. Subways closed.
Right.
Everything
closed
for a week.
Where's your food? Yeah.
So
where's your medication?
So James not only covers in his prepping class for natural disasters, the same shit can be applied when the shit hits the fan, whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist. So talk a little bit, James. I got you here now. Talk a little bit about what you do and how you do it.
Well, we talk a lot about our bug out bags, our bailout bags, whatever name you want to give it. And essentially, you have this basic equipment that you would be able to use for at least 72 hours. And you can apply whatever time frame you want. If you want more than that, it's up to you. But on the subject matter of, say, a lockdown or even martial law, like in Boston when the bombers attacked the marathon, they had, you know, how many troops out there with their Humvees locking everything down for searching two guys. So I guess we'll have to wait.
We will.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about the first thing you should have in your prepper arsenal, and that is the proper mindset.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers in each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have 3 times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape.
When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Waldorf Chiropractic is conveniently located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Dr. Eric, strong NRA supporter and Second Amendment supporter in New Jersey.
That wasn't meant for Dr. Eric.
If you know, if you or anyone you know live within a 30-mile radius of Bridgewater, New Jersey, check out WaldorfChiropractic.com. Our refer friends and family. Please, please, please. Go ahead, Sandy. Play the clip before Jim come back.
Okay. This is Kathy Lanier talking about something that we talk about all the time, which is normalcy bias. The biggest fear that law enforcement has at this point in inner cities is that people don't react. Everybody's worried about, especially on the opposite side, they're worried about 15 people in a theater who are armed standing up and shooting each other as an overreaction. Well, that's kind of BS. And this comes down to the fact that law enforcement understands this. And what they're really worried about is underreaction, people not reacting and just considering this to be normal. Again, DC Police Chief Kathy Lanier.
I'm not worried about an overreaction. I'm more worried about a numbness to what is potentially a reality.
A numbness?
Yes.
How do you mean?
Just ignoring it and not preparing yourself. That's not an option anymore.
It isn't an option anymore, is it, James?
No, never has been. I don't know why she said anymore. But,
well, again, in the mind of the police side and in the mind of the leftist side, you know, prior to this, you were supposed to allow authorities to come running. And you see what happened in France.
Well, I guess now that it's come down to terrorist attacks, air quotes on terrorism, now it's important enough.
Was 30 minutes before they came into the theater, by the way, the police. By the time they got there, they swarmed outside and they set up a perimeter and they had their little meeting. It was approximately 31 minutes, I think, before they went in the door.
Because they're still following the same guidelines that we used to follow prior to Columbine, where you have a meeting outside. And we've talked about this with law enforcement on the show a number of times. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yes.
And it doesn't happen because it fails. And it is the same reason that the cops rush in to stop a murder in progress that we, who are the first responders, need to respond.
I'd love to stick like my thumb right in one of those terrorist eye sockets to
Absolutely.
Be the first one to go over and grab one. You know they're pussies without their AK-47.
Right.
There is some other like first responder basics that you would need to keep in mind. For example, you go into a mall, or in typical mall in the United States, you got however many doors abreast, two door sets deep for climate control. Most people that are walking in, they're focused on the door because that's the next thing that they have to do to get to where they want to go.
Right.
But for guys like us, we're looking in the store to see what's going on before we actually enter. There could be a robbery, it could be an active shooter. But if you see like a crowd of people flopping on the ground, convulsing and vomiting, you know, instinctively, you might want to try to rush in there and help them. But mm-hmm. we have to remember in these basics is that only fools rush in. If you go in there, you become one more victim and one less first responder. So you're adding to the burden in that sense.
When you learn CPR, before you treat someone, you're supposed to make sure the scene is safe.
Yes.
Right? Because they might have stepped in a puddle and got electrocuted.
Right.
And now you're going to go to save them, you're going to step in the puddle.
Right.
So again, you have to break from that. So your classes, and I've said in your classes, this guy brings a bajillion things. And he lays out the table, and he goes over a million products and uses, and I mean it's extensive to say the least. I mean you could Google things to put in my bug out bag or something like that, but it's not going to be the same as to be able to ask him questions and everything. So, how do you apply this? Obviously, what are some of the differences between your prepping class that you cover, like if when they blow a mall up here, as opposed to we know a storm is coming in 3 days, a Category 1 drizzle or whatever?
Okay, so that would be primarily the difference between your advance warning and then oh shit, what's going on? So you want to have that,
and we've had both here too. We've had oh shit, what's going on with 9/11, and we've had advanced notice in the case of Hurricane Sandy.
You take his class December 12th, you're going to leave with a list. Christmas is 13 days away. Instead of buying somebody the crock pot or the Starbucks espresso machine, spend, how much would you say for an average bag, a prepping bag to have in your car or at work or something?
With the basics, it could be as little as $50.
So let's say $200, you can have an extensive bag. Wouldn't that be a better gift? I know it's one of those gifts. It's like giving, like I give fire extinguishers and carbon monoxide detectors to people, and they're like, you know, but until you need it.
Right. We talk about that, having a carbon monoxide detector in your car for like the blizzard scenario. If you're stuck on the side of the road, the snow's piling up around the outside, you've got the exhaust coming in.
Never thought of that. And a carbon monoxide detector is $20.
Right.
I never even thought about that.
I never thought about it either.
Okay, you're absolutely right. The car's running.
It's a silent killer. It seeps in, and if you're just, you know, you're dying.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, because the snow is seeping in. It's blocking off the exhaust. You don't know that.
So there's something right there that, in all my years of experience, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah,
I don't have. Ta-da. So go ahead. Continue. Me likes this shit.
So you know, we're talking about your food, your water, these basic essentials that you would want to have on hand to carry you over. Toilet paper, that would be a good thing. No, you get stuck at work, there's something happens, there's a lockdown, there's martial law, you have what you need besides smashing open the vending machine and taking all the candy bars.
First thing I'm doing.
Right. Well.
And then they say the rainstorm passed, Anthony. You're going to have to make good on that machine. As I'm sitting there with wrappers all around me.
The first thing you do is take out the surveillance camera. And the second thing you do is take out the...
I'm like, F it. Well, the only thing left was chuckles anyway. And I'm like,
What the hell? And who eats the green chuckles?
Yeah,
that's all that was, the green chuckles.
I'm really impressed with the carbon monoxide detector. Anyway, go ahead. Hit it.
So, we talk about normalcy bias in the class. We talk about situational awareness. Those are really going to be your first line of defense. And for come the time when things have already happened and you're stuck somewhere, you want to have that support material with you.
Give us some tips as to what the average person can do right now listening to be able to be a little bit more prepared.
Well, again, you want to have your vehicle bag, right? So we talk about this.
What would you keep in
that? All right, your food, water, flashlight. Means of communication, alternate means of communication.
What would that be?
Well, I talk about in the class, say having a pair, a set of walkie-talkies.
Okay.
So you have one walkie-talkie, your wife has another walkie-talkie. You've already discussed your evacuation plans if something happens. You're going to rendezvous at a certain point, and in your struggle to try to get there with the traffic and, you know, the roadways clogged and the mass exodus, whatever you're trying to contemplate here, you would have a line of sight within, say, a mile or two with a pair of walkie-talkies to communicate and connect with your wife without actually reaching that rendezvous point. Same thing with your kids, if they're in school, they have one in their bag, and you can all know that you're going to tune into a certain channel and try and get in touch with one another.
Now, in a case of, in my particular case, my wife and I are about 35, 40 miles away from one another, and in a lot of parts of the country, it's even further than that.
Okay,
granted, like here, in northern Jersey and New York and whatever, a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles is the most you know, you guys are commuting, but
right. And, you know, the most you're going to get in reception on a small radio like that is in and around a mile or two, depending on buildings and obstructions.
Are there any other radios that are better, bigger?
Well, you know, ham radio, if you want to get into that, you can talk to other people in the world. But, you know, now you're talking about power sources and things like that. It's, you know, probably bulkier equipment than something handheld.
Something you can carry with you.
Right. So if you're just talking about local communication, then that would be a viable way of trying to establish a line of communication, say when the power is down or the cell phones are down.
You got a favorite brand or any?
No, not really.
Okay.
No.
They're all pretty much the same.
Yeah. Well, you get what you pay for.
Free. Oh, okay. You know, what would you expect to pay for some of them?
Well, you know, they have them in camping stores. They might be a pair of radios for, say, $60, or, you know, depending on where you're going, you might get them for $120, $200 set. You know.
Is that a decent price for that, or is it
probably
something which you'd expect to pay?
It's probably what you would expect to pay. And again, you're looking for the quality of the product. If it's, you know, cheap plastic, then, you know, you expect to probably break it.
Right.
So if it's something a little more formidable, say like the radios that a police officer might use, something along those lines, like a Motorola, let's say, you know, okay, as opposed to a Radio Shack.
Okay.
You know, not to knock anybody, but let's face it, you get what you pay for.
And what else would you keep in that auto bag?
Well, you're talking about two parts of your auto bag. One is going to be vehicular support. So you have, say, a couple of cans of Fix-A-Flat. You have your jug of potable water, because you would need water before your vehicle. But if it came to it and your vehicle needed water, you can dip into the potable water. Your flares, you have extra food and water in your vehicle kit, ponchos, rain ponchos, thermal blankets, things of that nature. So if you're contemplating being stuck somewhere in your vehicle, you have that support material that you can tap into out of your vehicle kit. Now, then add to that, you have your everyday bag, which we were talking about, 72 hours worth of equipment. Now, when right. you combine these two, you've added your resources. You've multiplied your resources. So one kit always stays with your car, and your everyday bag stays with you. So no matter where you are, you have your everyday bag.
Right.
If you happen to be in your car, now you have the combination of the two.
Practice. I still count. I started, you know, in the medical corps, and we always had to have, because we were always on call. And when you got a call, this is back in the dark ages, when you got a call, you went. Your beeper went off, you went.
Yep.
You didn't go home. You couldn't go home. You had to go directly to whatever scene you had to go to.
You guys, you know, the only thing you're missing is, like, I always think about getting stuck alone. I worry about companionship. And that's why I have pumpkin spice chloroform in my bug out bag in my car.
And that blow up, though.
No.
Which is very important.
I just wrote, by the way, I sent myself an email, carbon monoxide detectors. I'm getting them for all my cars now.
And if you have the little inverter, then you could get the power.
I have the inverter.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
This segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com. Get your loser ass out of the barista bar, and for as little as $52 a month, you can have fractional rental.
Where else are you going to hear a commercial like that?
It's the truth, though, because I go to the Green Seal coffee place a couple times a week. By the way, the CEO of Starbucks just donated $30 million
to
veterans organizations.
Oh, nice. I thought you were going to say to Bloomberg's...
No. Well, we all have our issues. But anyway, Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com. Ron is hosting the Second Amendment Women's Social, the year-end thing. He's also letting Dave Rosenthal and Andreas and all of those guys have their organization up there. Ron's just the best. So Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com. You can do everything there, again, for as little as $52 a month. I rent 1,600 square feet from Ron. My accounting department's there. And, I mean, I just overall, I'm very happy with the professionalism, the way the place looks and everything. So get your loser ass out of the barista bar or your mom's kitchen. Your mom needs her kitchen to do Christmas baking, okay? You shouldn't be downstairs in your jockey shorts.
Ma, you got to be quiet.
Yeah, Ma, shut the blender.
Because I've got to call a client now.
So MontvilleOffice.com. So go ahead, James. So James just talked about a power inverter. A lot of people don't know about that, but Amazon.com, as little as $40 for a small power inverter. I have a couple of rather large power inverters. They basically plug into the cigarette lighter and convert to AC to wall outlet power. Now, you're not going to be running a blender and an iron and a curling iron off of the friggin' thing, but if you have one of those, you can plug a carbon monoxide detector and you have battery chargers. You know, there's so many things you can do. So I have bags in all my cars. I also have a bag for hiking.
Right.
And I don't cross over that stuff. I'm a little crazy. Like, I have three luggage bags. I have a bag that I use for car travel. Mm-hmm. I have a bag that I use for carrying on travel. And I have a bag I use for checking travel.
Right.
And there are certain things I interchange between them because, like, you can't buy three shavers, three this, three that, or whatever. But to have something, you guys come to this prepping class for your kids that are in school in a dorm. How many of you bought your kids a ton of shit for their dorm?
Right.
Mini fridge, this thing, that thing, everything, where for Christmas they should have a $100 to $200 bag in their dorm room. Right, James?
And, yes,
hit me with
it. And you want to duplicate certain things, like your flashlights. That's an obvious one. You want to have one in every bag, one in your car. That's a given. But certain things you're not going to want to double up on. As you said, if you're going to be hiking, you don't need to have the power inverter. Where are you going to plug that thing
Correct.
In? Correct. So for me, I have a vehicle bag. It's going to be a vehicle kit, supports the vehicle and myself. I have my everyday bag that I would carry with me. So if I'm caught at work or in my vehicle. And then I have, being that I do a lot of camping with the scouts, I have what would I call my comprehensive, you know, bivouac type bag, big giant backpack with camping equipment, you know, the cooking and utensils, stuff like that, little mess kits.
And how do you handle first aid? Do you keep first aid?
I have a first aid kit in all of them. Each has a first aid kit because, you know, you don't keep it thinking I am going to get injured. It's just one of those things. It's better off to have it and not need it than it is to need it and not have it.
Correct.
I carry around a first aid kit in my camping bag. And for the most of the part, I know ahead of time that I'm going to be lugging around dead weight for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had to pull it out once. But,
yeah, good. Thank God. Yeah.
But in the event that someone gets a nasty cut, they're chopping wood and they plant the hatchet in their shin, I'm going to have that stuff.
What do you keep normally in your first aid kits?
In my first aid kits, well, if you're going to buy a first aid kit at a camping store or anything like that, or even an automotive store, go through it and get rid of all the crap. All right, the cheap safety scissors that are in there, they're going to bend when you try to cut the tape, and your equipment can't fail you.
What else should you throw out?
Throw in a good pair of stainless steel scissors.
Okay.
All right, throw in additional Band-Aids or bandages.
And most of that stuff I get when the nurse leaves me alone in the examination room.
Yeah, take some gloves.
What?
All right, keep going.
I paid for that shit.
Okay, you're treating someone else.
So did your doctor. So go ahead.
If you think that you're going to be treating someone else, and you know, before all of this, you have to take your first aid class.
Yes.
You have to know how to tie a tourniquet, or if it's even applicable, you have to know how to make a splint.
Right.
To immobilize. There are even little tricks that you can use where you can use your T-shirt and take it off one arm and turn it into a sling, so you don't even need a triangular bandage. So you might be able to cut some of your weight down by knowing other tricks
and having an extra clean T-shirt.
The stuff that he goes over in his class, there's so many little things that you need to know. And then what happens, he's there for you. Okay, so you go over the basic prepping 101 class. He has advanced classes, but you can email James 2 weeks later and say, I'm going to make up a bag for my daughter.
Yeah,
what should I have in it?
What's a C-Loom light?
Yeah, well, C-Loom light. So many people asked about that. We all have them now. Right. Me, Rob, Jimmy, everybody bought the C-Loom light.
Right.
And tell them about the C-Loom light real quick. I love that shit.
Oh, man. You just drop it in fresh water or salt water. It works better in salt water.
It's brighter in salt water.
Yeah, it's definitely brighter. But it just more or less generates electricity by having two different types of metal in the salt water. And it powers a little circuit board that illuminates an LED. And you have this green LED with directional light to an extent. You can illuminate the staircase, the hallway. I rigged it up so I could fit it into one of the mason jars, so I can kind of carry it around.
Perfect. Yeah, like a lantern. Yeah,
yeah,
like a lantern.
And if you have kids, you can put it in a plastic container, so you don't have to worry about dropping it and having glass fall or whatever.
Yeah,
it
requires that support material of having water or salt water, but that's not too too hard to store, especially if it's in the house.
I mean, to go and buy a 50-pack of light sticks and have them. Two is not a bad idea. I have them everywhere.
Yeah, like they wouldn't become obsolete. Those have their purpose too. They wouldn't become obsolete, but they don't work so well in the cold.
Correct. But they're just nice to have. I told you when Sandy hit, I had them all over. I put them on the chandelier of the dining room, two of them, and I hung one to the banister going up the stairs, and it just emitted a soft green hue that you could walk around the house without stubbing your toe. You didn't have to worry about drop, and my hands were free.
Right, you turned the ceiling fan off, and they went flying around like like tracer bullets.
Oh, the power was out.
When the power came back on, they went flying.
What do you do for food? What do you recommend for a little bit of energy?
Dietary needs are always going to come first. MREs are very good, but they're very high in sodium.
Which is something people have to worry about if you have high blood pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to worry about that. Go ahead.
I like the food bars that they have over at Get Out Safe New Jersey. Mayday bars.
Okay, they're called Mayday bars?
Mayday bars, yes. Those are very good.
Can you get them online?
I believe so, yeah.
Mayday bars.
Mayday, yep. M-A-Y-D-A-Y, Mayday bars.
What do they taste like?
The apple cinnamon is the ones that I've had, and they're a no-thirst type.
Oh, okay, because a lot of those, because of the sodium in them, you develop a nasty thirst.
Well, you have to watch out for that also, even with bottled water. You don't want purified water because that's tap water that's been sent through a filter. And when it says that it's been, enriched with
flavor enhanced water.
Flavor enhanced with minerals.
How much is the prepping class?
$99 for the prepping one.
$99 for prepping one. It's a four-hour class that usually goes about five and a half hours because he answers every freaking question in detail. And
I'm trying to pack, 5 pounds of crap in a 4 pound bag.
I'm telling you, when you see how much shit he brings in and lays it out, it's overwhelming at first, but then you leave with a really good knowledge. Same thing, though. If I had a kid in college, again, I'd want them to have a bag probably in their car and something in their dorm, an emergency thing that's under the bed. Am I right or wrong? Right, so they could pull it out. So if the shit hits the fan, so that they could go to their dorm and lock themselves in the room or whatever till safety's there. What if there's an active shooter lockdown?
Right.
Yeah. And you're stuck to your room now, and all you got in your refrigerator is a thing of peanut butter, and a couple of waters or something. Oh, I got that bag.
And the other people are going to be exiting their rooms looking for these things if they've gone long
enough.
You don't have to.
Right.
Or even if there's a fire, you open up the window, you toss your bag out the window, you won't be standing out there on the front lawn in your jammies, so you've got an extra pair of clothes in there. You have to try to anticipate what each scenario is going to bring and then have something in your bag to contend with that.
All right, when we come back, what I want to really do is try to focus on the folks who probably can't make it here to New Jersey. Some of the listeners who are across the country and around the world, and what they might be able to do. Oh, that's good. I'm going to get the hate mail. And flyover states. Give us some of the we have a huge listenership in flyover country. So give us some ideas of what we might be able to find either on the internet or a lot of this stuff you can get like in your local True Value store too. Not a lot of this is stuff that has to be specialty store, like a survival store or anything like that, is it?
No. You could find it online just by searching, prepping.
Okay, cool.
You could find stuff at hardware store. You have to be a little creative sometimes, repurposing old things.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall, and 106 pounds. She was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Crank it up!
And this segment is brought to you by Philly Gun Training. Jose Morales, PhillyGunTraining.com, located in Philadelphia in the Garden City.
On Spring Garden Street.
Spring Garden Street, right across from the gun range. Jose will help you out. He's a certified instructor for lipstick bodyguard. He's an NRA training counselor, NRA instructor. He will help you with all your permits to acquire, purchase, and carry guns in Philadelphia. And he's an all-around great guy, except when it comes to getting the show up on time. Otherwise, it's
he's too busy training people,
the some bitch. So go ahead, talk about repurposing or whatever else you guys got, please.
Repurposing. Well, it's kind of hard to just go into it freestyle, but an example is something you might have on hand. How can we repurpose it?
Well, let's talk about what you might be able to keep just in the scenario with the college. How about what would you send your kids off to? What would you keep in that bag? Is it something different than you would keep in any other bag?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
So it's the same sort of stuff in everything that you have?
There are things that you want in your bag that are going to be universal to as many types of scenarios as possible.
Okay. So makes a lot of sense.
Right. So if we're talking about, say, on the storm level, you have hurricanes, tornadoes, thunderstorms, what have you. When you take a look at all of the things that you're going to be faced under each of these scenarios, and then you look at the common ground that they all have, that would be a very good place to start, because any measures of preparedness that you take in that overlapping area is going to be something that addresses all of these things. So you wouldn't want to be so specific to one thing. Right. You cover the common ground first, and now you're getting ready for many things.
But mudslides in, say, Arizona, probably not a likely scenario.
Exactly. Well, so when we talk about safety and security, we don't want to weigh these things against the likelihood of an event taking place. We weigh them against the actual outcome should it occur. So I'm not going to sweep Anthony with my gun.
Right.
As unlikely as it would be to discharge in the tenth of a second it takes to pass the space he occupies, leading to anything from a superficial wound to the ultimate injury of death. We're not going to do that because of the outcome.
Right.
But when we're dealing with scenarios and potential things that can play out, the likelihood comes into play with prioritizing. So here in New Jersey, you're likely to get ready for a hurricane. If you're in Kansas, you might not need to, but tornadoes are the big thing. And Southern California, you've got your mudslides.
And if you're dealing with just outcome, I want to get through this no matter what. So
Correct.
What you're saying is you're not planning for the event. You're planning for the outcome. You're
exactly.
looking at the end and saying, how does this play out at the end?
Exactly. And that's where your focus lies.
Right.
So we're talking about your power is down.
Right.
How are you going to mitigate that vulnerability down to an acceptable level? You're going to have a generator. We can take it a step further. What if this generator for some reason fails? Do I want to have a backup generator? We talk about this in the Prepping 1 class with regards to the threat and vulnerability assessment and the hazard mitigation matrix. Hazard being for these safety issues and the TVA, threat and vulnerability assessment for your vulnerabilities.
Now, that's something that you bring about. I mean, the fact that we probably have a 1 in 2 million chance right now of being a victim of an active shooter or a terrorist sort of a scenario so far.
So far.
The it really hasn't come to head. I think right now what we're looking at is probably going to be a very active year.
Yes. And if we're contemplating, let's say terrorism is the hot topic now, are they really going to attack our infrastructure, try to take out a bridge, communications, power lines? It's plausible, but chances are far more likely that they're just going to go for a high body count.
Yeah.
So
that's what I say. Public places, malls.
So right, if you're gonna go to Times Square on New Year's Eve, if that's what you want to do,
You're
increasing your risk.
And I go everywhere because I don't give a shit. All right, because I'm not gonna let terrorism win. But here, soccer moms that are listening to the show, dads married to soccer moms. You got a husband and wife. You got two kids. You get Times Square shot up. Two malls are shot up at one time. They declare a national emergency, martial law, complete lockdown like in Belgium. What do you have in your house right now
or even
to last you 1 week?
Even if your kids are out somewhere.
You're apart. Mom's got two kids. Dad's got two kids. You're now 30 miles apart from one another. What plan do you have to meet as a family?
Correct.
Where are you going to meet?
And when you do meet and you finally, hopefully, make it back to your house, you only have that 1 gallon of milk. Maybe you got two bottles of water. Maybe you got a case of water that you bought in Costco. We all know we got a ton of canned goods and stovetop stuffing and shit we haven't touched, and maybe a fridge full of or a freezer full of stuff. But what do you really have, and what do you need? James, right?
So you want your playing cards. You want your board games. You want to be able to break the monotony if you know the power is out or something like that. There's no internet coverage because when they blew up the towers and they brought down the towers, we lost communication.
Instantly.
Right?
Yep. Instantly.
Yep.
Instantly.
And we can contemplate high-end events. I mean, we can sit here and discuss, for instance, a tsunami hitting New Jersey and rendering the entire state into a debris field that gets deposited against the Appalachian Mountains. Is it plausible? Is it possible? Yeah, but do you really want to focus on something like that? Or do you want to focus on, the outcome of
normal daily things?
Right, of things that are far more likely to occur.
Right.
So in this case, again, what are you going to be faced with in this aftermath? How are you going to recover from it?
Correct.
I'll tell you, we learned a lot during Hurricane Sandy.
We learned
a lot from a business standpoint. When 9/11 hit, I had offices in New Jersey and in New York. And you learn a lot about what you think you're prepared for and what you're actually prepared for. And in Hurricane Sandy, we were talking about this last night, Thanksgiving dinner, and we were without power for almost 4 weeks. And by week three, it got real old, real fast. And we couldn't really leave the house. We had no way to protect our home, other than firearms. I mean, we were there, but we had no early warning signs anymore. The alarm system had been out for 2 weeks. The cell towers were down. We couldn't dial 911 if we wanted to. We live in a relatively isolated area. Yes, I was armed. My wife was armed. But you couldn't leave the house alone because people were coming literally from Newark and breaking into houses around in our area. So these are things that you learn to kind of trial by fire. And I'm a pretty prepared person, but man, there was not a lot to prepare you for.
Let's talk about, say, water for a moment. You have, and a lot of people are going to say that you're going to need X amount of water, enough for 3 days per family member, 3 gallons per family member per day, however much that equates to. that's not definitive. You can decide for yourself that you want to have a month's worth of water. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't have the storage, so you're going to have 2 weeks' worth of water and a personal filtration device to back it up.
Right.
So when you run out of your stock runs out, you have the personal filtration device to go to the nearest river or pond or lake.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, old rubber tire in the woods that
what
has water
pool?
In it.
Could you use pool water?
You can use pool water. System? You know, that's a good analogy that I use in the prepping level 2 class is what you might find in a river versus what you might find in your pool. Now, if it's just been chlorinated, you'd probably want to take that water, put it in a bucket, and let it stand out for 24 hours, and the chlorine will evaporate out. You don't want to be ingesting that much chlorine as you would have in a pool. It's a lot... The levels are far higher than what you would get out of tap water. One scenario that I was faced with, I came to a river and it was very clean. And unknowingly, I thought to myself, wow, what a great place to fish. But as it turned out, the river was dead because upstream had poisoned the soil with sulfuric acid and the acidity level of the water was too high for anything to live in it.
Gotcha.
So as a survival type scenario, you come to a body of water and there's, you know, empty containers of plastic containers or 55-gallon drums, or there's dead animals laying around, chances are that water is no good. And by comparison, if you had a swimming pool that hadn't been maintained for a year and its water is green and there's, you know, tadpoles swimming around in there, what you're missing is that this water supports life. So water that's crystal clear and not supporting life is probably something that you don't want to drink, whereas water that you might otherwise feel is tainted with algae and other critters swimming around in there, that water supports life. So it's really just a matter of treating it,
right,
and getting the bad stuff out, and now you've got the good water. So now you have these different
methods. Again, very counterintuitive. Right?
Yes. Oops. Unbelievable. I would have thought of that. I'd be chugging the chlorinated pool water. It's crystal clear, nice, yeah, cold.
Nice.
Come
and
have
cold.
Some,
right?
I'd have the whitest insides ever, right?
Absolutely.
That's where you get into your knowledge base.
Clear.
Right? Knowledge is weightless. You know how to treat the water. We cover purification, disinfection, sanitization, distillation.
Now, speaking of sanitization, one of the things people don't think about is sanitary water, not only for bathing, but for toilet purposes.
For flushing, but you know what? Do you really want to waste good water flushing your toilet? I saw a really neat little jobby on the internet not long ago where the guy had built a sink over the top of the back of his toilet. So anytime he washed his hands, that gray water would fill the reservoir in the back of the toilet bowl. And now he's flushing the toilet with gray water.
And for long extended periods of time, you have to understand, too, that when, to excuse the expression, shit don't flow downhill by itself,
right,
in a sanitary system. There are pumps that, mm-hmm, pump that sewage through the system and maintain a certain pressure level. When the power goes out, that sewage backs up into your house.
We had that problem in my town where I live. Everything is a gravity feed sewer system, but because of the logistics of our house, we have to have a pump to pump over to the gravity system.
Right.
So in Sandy, we couldn't run the water because otherwise the tank would overfill and we'd be, you know.
yeah. Deep
creek,
yeah,
might, yeah, might apply?
Without the paddle, yeah. Exactly.
Excelente. James, prepping 101 class. What time is it, December 12th?
Should be 11 o'clock.
11
I have
o'clock.
To check that.
It's 13 days before Christmas. It's right around the start of Hanukkah. A great class to come into. Get your Christmas list, shopping list. Get everybody a nice bag. Learn all of these secrets. Now I know I can drink the green water with the tadpoles, but not the blue water.
You want to treat it first. You
all
don't
right,
want to drink
right,
it while
right.
it's
I know
green.
That. I know that. So anybody want to come in, James Hedham, check him out. I think it's a great course to take. We just added reloading classes, January 31st and February 28th, metallic cartridge reloading, because next week's special is going to be a reloading special. Am I correct, Sandy?
That is correct.
Nappin's knife books are in stock, $25 a piece. If you want to make a nice stocking stuffer or a Hanukkah Day gift, the knife laws of all 50 states. Nappin will be here February 12th, his first class of the year. He's only doing 4 classes at the Woodland Park Range next year. Again, Prepping 101, December 12th. November 29th, Range Safety Officer. December 5th, Chief Range Safety Officer. I'm off to Munich and Athens, and I will be back in 2 weeks, bitches.
That's a
Thank
warning.
You, James
Going
Hedham.
To Munich?
Going to Munich. All right.
And it's that time of year again. Lipstick Bodyguard is offering their holiday promotion from now until Christmas. Buy one, buy a thousand. It's the same low shipping rate. And as always, they still pay for hazmat. Available at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, at Philly Firearms Academy, and at lipstickbodyguard.com. And judging by the clock on the wall, looks like you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a CounterThink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, and the License of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, Winston the Dog, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Remember, guys, each one, reach one, turn someone you know onto the show, and subscribe through iTunes Store. An entire show on reloading next week. See you then.